you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's now time for News Headlines with Molly
on the Big Party Show on Channel 94.1.
The flu season, it's been a rough one, and it's showing no signs of letting up anytime soon. Nebraska Medicine issued some numbers. They say that on Monday and Tuesday alone, staff saw 118 patients at those walk-in flu clinics.
Can't believe that.
Clarkson Family Medicine at 42nd and Douglas, and then the Nebraska Medicine Chaco at 168th and Giles. So it is still very much an active flu season. They said that we haven't even hit the peak yet. So
yeah. I'm sure we had lots of people earlier on that had thought they had a cold and probably had the flu. Mm-hmm. You wonder how many people now just have a cold and think it's
the flu.
The flu.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who gets a cough now, you're like, oh,
yeah,
flu.
Freaked out. Well, and if you want to get that Tamiflu, they always advise you to get in there within the first 48 hours of symptoms starting in order for it to be the most effective. So that also probably gets people like, I got to be sure.
Does that stuff work?
That's the, if anything's going to work, it's Tamiflu.
Is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Senate is expected to approve a bipartisan two-year budget deal today. It would substantially increase spending for defense and domestic programs. So it's this or we go into a government shutdown. So the House voted for final approval on the government spending. It runs out at midnight. Brake problems are forcing a recall of over 251,000 Harley-Davidson motorcycles. The Milwaukee-based company says that the brakes might fail on the CVO Touring and the VSRC bikes from model years 2008 through 2011. So I guess Harley-Davidson's issuing a recall on nearly 175,000 bikes here in the United States. Oxford Dictionary is recognizing hangry as a real word now and adding it to their dictionary. It defines...
Seems like Snickers invented it. I'd never heard of hangry until a Snickers ad.
No. Hangry is defined as bad-tempered or irritable as a result of hunger. I guess they're saying it originates from the 1990s, but it also it blends the words hungry and angry. Among more than 1,100 words the dictionary added last month, mansplaining, me time, and snowflake.
We're all time.
Pretty lucky because we get to eat lunch and our meals whenever we want to, yeah, but a lot of people have to break for lunch with a work crew.
God, I wonder if that...
Lots of people in the world, you all have to break together. It's not a set time. So they all know hangry. They get hangry where, like, the one person's holding up lunch. Like, dude, let's order.
Yeah. I think I get hangry when, like, of course, when you're hungry. But when I can only imagine what that'd be like if you're hungry and then you have work to do that adds a little bit of stress. I mean, I don't have work to do. But when I do, I tend to get irritated. So I would assume that would be hangry. Do you guys ever get hangry?
Oh, absolutely.
Everyone does.
Hangry.
I can tell when I need a snack. I keep little stuff in my pouch.
Americans have the luxury that we never go long without meals. Most of us are lucky enough.
Yeah.
And many Americans eat for entertainment.
Yeah,
just for fun, just because, just to pass the time, something to do.
I was watching a video on a guy. He was talking about playing hockey in Russia, and he was an American playing on a Russian hockey team, and they all eat together like a military program. He said he got up for seconds, and everybody stared at him.
Oh, really?
Because there's no seconds.
Oh, no?
Could you imagine... Think about that. We have the ability, most of us, we'll just say most of us have the ability to get seconds. I'm not saying everyone is, but wow, everybody just kind of stared. Like, no.
Yeah, it's like the old art for Dodger or whatever. I want more, please.
And they're like, smack. Too bad, Oliver Twist. Back of the line. Well,
angry, mansplaining.
Hungary definitely is a lot of the Olympians. So the Olympics are underway, but the official kickoff is tomorrow. That's the opening ceremony, but it's happening at like 6 o'clock in the morning our time.
Yeah.
They'll air it later.
Yeah. I guess curling has the most matches than any other sport, so they have to start it early.
And
so it did start last night.
That U.S. team is here in Omaha at Baxter.
Yeah.
So that's almost kind of like our little hometown team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The brother-sister team curling, they won their first match against the Olympian athletes of Russia, which is they're just calling them OAR, OAR team. So Russia lost the first match in that particular event.
The fun thing about seeing the curlers when they were in town is that you couldn't tell who was a curler and who was a fan.
Yeah.
They're the only Olympic athletes that you would never have any idea who they are. Like, the two people are in line behind you and you think they're someone's parents. Oh, those are the two star athletes on the curling team.
Our coworker Megan went to the to that thing down at the Ralston Arena. Or where was it at? Was that
Baxter?
Baxter Arena. And those stones that they push, they have those filled with alcohol or drinks of some sort. So she was drinking out of a big straw, whatever she was drinking out of it. But now it's sitting at her desk, and I walk by it every day, and I have to laugh because it's the most weird-looking thing to drink out of. But at the same time, I want it. I'm like, I want to drink out of that thing. So isn't that funny?
It's a curling stone? She drinks out of a curling stone? That's interesting.
That's what they sold in the concession stands.
Yes.
Plastic.
Oh, yes.
Like little get take home.
Not a real stone.
Phony.
I was like,
be like drinking out of a plastic football at the Super Bowl.
Very cute. Well, it's got that handle. I guess that could be like where the straw is. Dunkin' Donuts announced that they are going to abandon foam cups starting in 2 years. Within 2 years, they're going to be replaced with paper cups that are compliant with the Sustainable Forestry Initiative.
You'd think that we'd be done with styrofoam, wouldn't you?
I know. It's kind of funny when you get that foam cup. You're like, this seems like such time machine drinking.
It does.
Like, nobody
and eating.
Has it anymore.
When you take stuff out and it's in styrofoam, they told you, I don't know, complain about left and right. Styrofoam is bad. But can it be? They still sell it in stores.
It doesn't biodegrade. I mean, so all those Dunkin' Donuts cups just filling up a landfill somewhere. They're finally getting on board. Your smart TV may be easier than you think it is to hack. Buyer beware. According to Consumer Reports, they analyzed smart TVs from the five big U.S. TV brands. So Samsung, LG, Sony, TCL, and Vizio. And they say that they found several problems. All can track what we're watching. And two of them failed basic security tests. But the deal is that hackers can go into your television. They can add things. They can turn up the volume, change the channel on you, spy on what you're doing. I know. I'm like, have fun.
I saw that on the news, and those were the examples.
Yeah.
Turn up the channel. Oh,
I can't hear you. Changing the channel, raising the volume.
Didn't we know this? It's like anything else that's online, right?
They said about Samsung years ago. Remember, they were saying people were hacking the camera on it. There was a creepy deal. That there were TVs being sold where they never even advertised that there was a camera on it. People owned it and didn't know there's a camera.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was a story where they were saying your TV's watching you.
It doesn't want to watch me.
They're like, no, put a tape over that.
Not doing anything.
So smart TVs, they have that built in. You know, a lot of them, Netflix, Hulu, YouTube. Yeah. And I guess half of all TV sales in the first half of last year. I mean, it's all about smart TVs. Now you basically want one that can go online, but that may be making you a porthole for hackers to come in and watch what you're doing or what you're watching.
What are they suggesting? Go to Saul's and buy like an old tube TV with rabbit ears?
The suggestion is, try to have password-protected Wi-Fi. I mean, the big deal is that they're coming in through your Wi-Fi. So make sure that you have a strong Wi-Fi password. Make sure that, you know, your passwords to your television apps are also, you know, encrypted, I guess, difficult to get into. I mean, the hackers it's the same way hackers get into anything else. It's all about passwords.
Yeah.
Make sure that your passwords are pretty decent passwords and not just like password 1234. That's your news update on Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
Yeah, because I thought it was interesting that they came out in the news, and I just kind of figured that was the deal anyway.
The Internet of Things, man, they can you know, everything's connected to the grid. Remember last year they were talking about how computers were going to start slowing down.
Yeah. Yep. I feel like that's happening now.
The new normal would be processing speeds that are much slower because we've based all of our computers on ease of use and speed and never safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Saying if you want to roll back and make things a little bit easier, harder to hack, computers are going to get slower.
Okay. All right. Well, I love my smart television. I'm glad I have one. And it's funny. I can't. I know a lot of people don't have them, but it is definitely...
it's a game changer.
It is a game changer, for sure.
So Molly's saying that the hackers are like, we love your TV, too.
Yes.
We watched it last night when you go to sleep.
The Big Party Morning Show. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Please follow me now. Omaha's number one music station.
Channel 94.1.
All right, so signing day's over. For all the Cobb kids and parents, congratulations. It's got to just be a great day for a lot of the kids, you know, especially knowing where you're going and, you know, fulfilling your dreams and taking the next step. We're a big football community here.
And mom and dad, though, it's really a culmination of mom and dad's work.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a lot of heavy lifting. Yes. How many times did that kid not want to go to practice?
Oh, gosh.
How many times did they want to quit? You know, and the parents are like, come on, this is worth it. And then the financial windfall of like, oh my gosh.
How much so many, it costs?
Yeah, they got to get that kid into a school and get a scholarship.
Yeah.
You got to get the scholarship.
Yep. That's kind of the goal. There's one that happened yesterday. His name is Jacob Copeland. And he had decided, in front of the whole school, by the way, and on national television, that he was going to go to Florida instead of Alabama. Was it? Mom's an Alabama fan, apparently, and and it was just, it's awful. I hate seeing it. It's just all over the place. If you want to see it, we did post on our Facebook page, Big Party Show, but he decides, and like they all do, they have two or three different hats on the table, and he picks whoever he decides to go with. It's
the
kind
big
of a game they play.
The big reveal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He chose Florida. Apparently, she was an Alabama fan, and as he... chose and put the hat on, the Alabama mom stood up and walked off.
I just think
unfun,
it's so terrible.
Awkward, and so I just feel sad every time because the look on his face says it all, you know. And then the announcer from ESPN asked him, you know, why'd your mom walk off? And he said, I don't know. I think this is a good decision. Instead of going, you know, taking it to whatever level he could have taken it to, he took it as an adult and just said, I, you know, I don't know why she walked off, but I'm comfortable with my decision. This is what I want to do. Gosh.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever been in a situation with my family where I've made a poor decision like that, where it made someone so mad that they walked off, but I'm sure it happens. But I hate saying it. It's awful. But she eventually came back.
Oh, I hope so.
And gave him a hug, and he was crying, which made it even worse. I'm like, poor guy. You know, that's a hard enough decision as it is, but to have super fans like that for one side and the other. I mean, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but just that alone was just the most uncomfortable nationwide now about this whole thing, and I'm sure that's just going to come back over and over for years to come.
Do you know where does he live? Where was it happening? Because I'm like, I'm wondering if...
He was down in Florida.
Okay, because that's the thing you wonder. Like, if he's in Florida, it makes sense that he would pick a... I mean, you know, maybe his mom...
Could you fathom someday wearing gear, Molly, at a press conference and one of your two children is signing... I guess
that?
Maybe a Quidditch scholarship to some nerd Harry Potter school...
Right. And I'm like,
and you have a Trivendon shirt.
I'm like,
and they
Hufflepuff, you
Slytherin.
Are Ravenclaw all the way. We are born Ravenclaws. We are what? I mean, Gryffindor, sure, but Hufflepuff.
Wouldn't you love to have your kids get a paid get a scholarship?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the parent's dream. I was just talking to a parent. Her daughters play hockey, and. There's a 14-year-old girl that's already being looked at by colleges, like big East Coast colleges that are like, you'll have a full ride if you sign with us now, like lock it in now. I'm like, 14? How do you know what's going to happen? I mean, college is 4 years away.
They usually go after them even younger than that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, you know, and of course the dad is like salivating. He's just like, this is the dream. This is what you hope for. I mean, to have big, you know, conferences like this, come and want your kid and it's all paid for. I'm like, yeah, but 14? I mean, at some point as a parent, like, I mean, obviously she must really enjoy it. She's still playing and she's a knockout star, but it was just an interesting, it was like, wow, I can't even imagine having my life trajectory figured out. Like if you'd interviewed me when I was 14, you know, you're like, yeah. Would you have?
You were like, I just want to smoke cigarettes and dress inappropriately at Mercy.
Exactly. Hello. Let's just keep our eye on the prize, shall
They're
we?
Like, that's the phase she's in now.
And it's today. Not going to change. Well, hopefully mm-hmm. it does. But yeah, I can't imagine at 14. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Now these people, they'll keep tab on them, you know, and that's necessarily signing your 14-year-old friend to a scholarship, are they? Or is just,
this was,
they're just interested.
She was telling me like a story about another girl on her daughter's team. It wasn't her daughter. It was like another girl that's on the team that's the superstar. And she was saying that all the dads were, you know, talking and buzzing because this girl was getting, and so they're all like, it gives them all hope, you know, like, oh wow, 14. It's like, dude, no, like just... I mean, if she likes it, great. This is a wonderful opportunity. But if this is something else, but, you know, I don't know.
Well, at 14, now they have to keep their eye on the prize.
Right.
I mean, you get them focused on, all right, you're in the glide path to get a college scholarship, so.
And not having to pay for it, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the main thing for all these parents. There.
Yes.
Think of the amount of, I mean, I'm curious what the price tag on a kid is to even get him up to the ledge where they can get recruited. What was the actual cash price tag on practice and all the...
Oh, God.
Let alone sweat equity of driving them to right. practice.
And going to the game.
Hockey's not cheap either. I mean, from just the parents that I know who have kids in hockey, it's an expensive sport. I mean, you better...
You're glad your kids are nerds? Is this why? I've always said, man, you want nerds for children that aren't athletic. So mom and dad, you don't have to sit in the stands all day. Even if your kid is a terrible athlete, you still have to sit in the stands for like 5 and 6 hours every Saturday and Sunday.
Every event he's at or she's at. Yeah.
Our parents, how did they do it?
I don't know. Thankful that mine did, though.
I know, they're so kind. I look back on it, I have such appreciation now.
Well,
like, just for the fact that, like, just no life and to watch me, what, play Rainbow League softball on weekends. And it's
they
like,
should
oh.
be, why aren't they thanking us that we were like, you know, we wanted to go home and play with our Legos. It's like, you know what, mom and dad, you don't have to sit in the stands and watch me play Legos.
That's coming.
The Big Party Morning Show.
Hello, everyone.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. See us on Instagram. Hear us right here.
Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.
Another cast member from Charles in Charge is saying that Scott Baio was abusive.
Now, what year was that show? People don't remember Charles in Charge.
Yeah, I was just looking it up. It was like 1986 to 1990 or something like that.
It was like the number one show or pretty popular, like a top five.
Right.
Scott Baio
yes.
and that Nicole Eckert, who went on to become a Baywatch babe.
Yes, and she is the first one to come forward and say... So it was on from 1984 to 1990. And Nicole Eggert is the first one to come forward and say, hey, listen, Scott Baio, 11 years older than me. When I was 14, he started having an inappropriate relationship with me.
And he's always said that it was consensual, but she was still underage.
Yeah, she was 14.
Willie Ames was the other guy. Remember him from Eight Is Enough?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so now another cast member, the guy who played the brother, this Alexander Polinsky, is saying that he went with her to file a police report. And he said that, yeah, he's coming forward that saying that Scott Baio was abusive, that his first year on the show, he caught, you know, came around the corner of the set and saw this Nicole Eggert sitting on Scott Baio's lap. And Scott Baio was really angry with him. And he's claiming that Scott Baio was verbally and physically abusive to him during his time on the show. So I don't know. I don't know what's... I mean, Scott Baio insists that that Nicole Eggert was 18 when they first messed around. And she's saying, well, that might have been when we first had intercourse, but we were messing around back when I was 14 all the way leading up to that.
What's statute of limitations?
That's what I'm curious about. I mean, she went and filed a police report. She did a police interview. So it must still be within the halo. But I don't know. I mean, it could be mounting legal troubles for Scott Baio. Gisele Bündchen is addressing a controversy that was sparked after people overheard her comforting her crying children after their dad, her husband, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots lost the Super Bowl on Sunday night. I guess she was overheard telling her 5-year-old daughter and her 8-year-old son, "Daddy won 5 times. They never won before. Their whole life, they've never won the Super Bowl. You have to let somebody win sometimes."
So that's okay. Like, that's
good. They're like, somebody win. And so she took to Twitter yesterday and said, "Listen, just to be clear, no one let anyone win. People will win because of their own merit. Tired of people twisting my words to create drama that doesn't exist." She was just a mom trying to comfort. Like, the kids were all upset.
You are stupid.
Watch their dad lose a game. Sure, they, you know, became a big part of their lives. I mean, it's his job, and it's a very high-profile job. But, yeah, so Gisele's saying, not going to have it. Marlon Brando may have had a tryst with Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor's widow is confirming that the comedian and Marlon Brando hooked up in the 70s.
She says that Pryor was bisexual. Yeah. But the wife says.
That surprises me.
Guess he could have been. I mean, who knows?
It was the 70s, man. Yeah. Wasn't everybody bisexual?
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It was mainly being bombed and waking up and looking over who you woke up next to. And you're like, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It's 70s, a lot of experimental stuff going on, I'm sure. I mean,
it all got started when Quincy Jones has done this sort of like gossipy tell-all interview with Vulture. And in it, one of the things that he's quoted as addressing is saying that Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor had hooked up.
What
and
year?
Like, in the 70s. There was no specific year.
I mean, but Marlon Brando used to go up and down depending on what role he was getting ready for. But, I mean, naked, he many times in the 70s would have looked like a manatee.
Yes. I mean, it wouldn't have been a good look.
They're saying that was how strong and magnetic his sex appeal was, Marlon Brando. Even when he was in manatee thighs, he could pull you in. Imagine being pulled into that tractor beam.
Oh, my Lord.
You're like, I'm not even gay, and I cannot refuse his advances.
Keep in mind, the 70s, I mean, 1972 is when The Godfather came out. I mean, so that's what he looked like.
Okay, so this is Richard Pryor's widow saying that it was the 70s, drugs were still good, especially the Quaaludes. If you did enough cocaine, you'd blank a radiator and send it flowers in the morning.
Wow. I'm so glad I've never been that wasted in my life where I woke up next to, like, I don't know. Well, you're just like, wow.
I mean, have you ever sent anyone flowers the next morning?
Me? No.
Have you ever received flowers the next morning?
That's a better question.
No comment.
Come on. That's a good question.
I've gotten flowers. I don't think it wasn't like next morning flowers. I've gotten flowers. Always just a little like, I don't know. Flowers are tricky when you're first starting to date somebody.
It's not too soon. I mean,
it's spooky. No, it spooked me. Like, I was like, and I'm not returning any of your phone calls.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you for sending the flowers. I didn't say I was.
I'm sure the flower industry would say it's never too early to send flowers. In fact, when we're coming up on the phoniest flower day of the year.
Oh, exactly.
Valentine's Day. I'm doing it because I have to.
Stop it. They do make you feel like you have to, don't they?
They certainly do.
Yes, they do. They definitely, certainly do.
Now, if you would have sent those flowers today, anyone out there, send flowers today.
Yeah, but Jeff, the thing is,
it's like, oh my God, who is this man? Is that Christian Grey?
Well, yes, it is. If you send them early, right? That's awesome. You know, that's, you're changing it up a little bit. But then there's the day. There's Valentine's Day, where everyone else is getting stuff and that person is not.
I sent Party to the website yesterday for Sherry's Berries.
Yeah.
I was curious if he was going to order it for himself.
What's Sherry's berries?
Some special berries, girl.
Like, you'll see them all over. It's the big. It's one of the sucker bets. So Sherry's berries, they've tied in with like the New England Bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a Valentine's Day sucker bet. The Sherry's berries are you send chocolate dipped strawberries.
Oh.
Sherry's berries.
Yeah.
And then now you can throw in the stupid bear. It's
and
the,
by the way, add the bear.
I have no creativity gift.
I don't know what to do this year. You know, last year I did do flowers.
Yeah. Well, she works in an office, the sweet Wylene. So there's also that pressure of like, you know, are you doing it for her? Or are you doing it just to show everybody else in the office that, you know,
she's and in the 70s, they're sending flowers to the radiator they slept with. What happened to romance in America?
Got a little
Quaaludes, man.
Those Quaaludes are supposed to be awesome. I posted a joke posting on Facebook yesterday about the Quaaludes scene in The Wolf of Wall Street, which is one of the greatest scenes.
Oh, it is?
When he sells the whole beauty of why everyone did Quaaludes until they Section 1'd them, and you can't find him anymore.
Did people think that you were being real?
Well, they Section 1'd Kratom.
Which oh, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on the same level of a Quaalude now, which is there's a box in the other. There's a box down the hall of Kratom right now. I'm like, hardly Quaaludes. They said Quaaludes were pretty awesome.
Well, they're gone now, aren't they? You can't. Can you get them? I mean, when they Section 1 something, does that mean it's gone forever or just hard to get?
Ah, probably.
You can't get them. No, you can't get them legally.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, they still exist somewhere.
But assuming you would think that some those drug chemists would have recreated them. I thought, especially after Wolf of Wall Street came out, that there would be an underground buzz for
Quaaludes.
For Quaaludes.
Ooh, yeah. Amber, what's up? What's going on?
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to call and comment. When I first met my husband, he went above and beyond for our first Valentine's Day, as in his creativity you guys were talking about. He bought me a bag of Hershey's Kisses, and I thought, oh, well, that was really nice. And so I'm eating them and throwing away the wrappers, not looking twice. And he got really offended, and he's like, hello, why don't you look at the candy? And I opened it up and looked, and on every little Hershey's Kisses, he wrote his own, like, little love note, and then resealed them, and then resealed the bag. So, like, I didn't know that he had done that.
That's kind of creepy.
That's really wild.
It was cute. It was really cute.
How long had you been dating?
It took all that time. Like 5 months.
Okay.
Oh my God. See, that would have been like.
And you didn't care.
Molly
you didn't even
out.
Focus. He's like, the two other girls I did it for liked it.
I'll quit it. Amber, we're
sorry.
Well,
we've been married for 14 years. So
that's great.
It did something good.
Okay.
Well, nice job, Amber.
Good job.
Now, what do you do? What's the most romantic thing that you ever have done for him on Valentine's Day?
Oh, gosh. I can't spit something out like that. Ooh.
Thrown for a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he topped that.
Question number two.
He doesn't want anything other than you.
No,
love.
That's it.
Your love and attention.
Have you ever sent him flowers after making love?
No.
Okay.
No. But I have made his coffee for him.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. That's the equivalent.
There we go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Amber, thanks for calling.
Thanks, bye.
And happy almost Valentine's Day.
Happy almost Valentine's Day.
It's the Big Party Show.
Broadcasting from the Eat Fit Go Studios. On Omaha's number one hit music station, Channel 94.1.